Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host,
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
No sleep till...
Minutes after the hour of 12, little Beastie Boy action, because comrade Bill de Blasio, your man, not mine, I didn't vote for him.
Oh, is that the standard?
Well, it is for me.
Is Trump your president?
I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for Hillary. I voted for myself.
I know. So you're your president.
Actually... Donald Trump is my president, depending on what subject is.
Oh, okay. You're a slickster.
He really is. But with Bill de Blasio, he's out of sight, out of mind. He had an exclusive interview with Channel 5 News in which he was talking about his sleep issues. We call them the sleep-in issues, and also how he hates the Upper East Side. That's why he spends so much time in Brooklyn, which he declares as part of his Beastie Boy domain. But as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided for us to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com, I am once again joined by Ebony Kardashian Williams.
Woohoo!
And we must come up with a resolution along with our listeners to help Bill de Blasio because he has these sleep-in issues. Serious.
Oh, he needs his beauty rest.
Sleep-in issues.
That's what it is. He needs his beauty rest. I figured it out.
The most recent reports in the New York Post are is that in addition to sleeping in late at Gracie Mansion, and we'll recap that momentarily.
You hate him for that, don't you? Don't you?
Oh, I really do.
Yeah, when you got those cuffs slapped on your wrist, those beautiful silver bracelets the other day when you were arrested for trying to service him with the lawsuit, I think the thing that seemed to have peed you off the most, Curtis Sliwa, when you walked in grumpy right before the show that day, was that he was sleeping until, what, 8 a.m.?
Well, to give you an example, I arrived there at 7:30 to serve him with the legal papers. I was court-ordered to serve him personally, and that's where I knew I could find him at Gracie Mansion. And he's been served there before. It's not unusual. It was 7:30. I got there. I spoke to the sergeant in charge of his police detail. And I said, don't tell me. The mayor's sleeping inside. They said, yep. He's still sleeping. I said, well, what time does he generally wake up? And he said, about 8 o'clock.
That's cushy. That's
and,
cushy.
You know, it was kind of ironic, but I'm standing right outside of the gate. And exactly at 8 o'clock, you hear an alarm clock going off somewhere in Gracie Mansion.
Time to pop, rise and shine, pretty boy.
So Big Bird, comrade Bill de Blasio, gets up at that point. He showers, he shaves, he gets into his suit or his tracksuit, and he gets into his SUV with his police posse, and he heads off to Park Slope, which is his preferred location, to work out at the Park Slope. Why? Because he loves the slope. And the moment he finishes his workout, usually about 10:30, he walks across the street and he has a croissant and a cup of coffee. And then he meanders into City Hall. It could be anywhere from about 11 o'clock to 11:30. But we now learn that at exactly 12 noon each day, he closes the door to the mayor's office and he tells his staff, wake me up in about 45 minutes. I'm going to take a nap. I don't want to be disturbed unless it's a real emergency. So the guy, in addition, is sleeping an additional 45 minutes to an hour, taking a nap from 12 to 1. Now, remember, his day hasn't even technically started yet. He's barely addressed any issues. Most of the city and those who are pouring into the city have already worked half a day. Some are already starting on his second job because they're multitasking. And this guy is like a total slacker and deadbeat.
Oh, total.
So I'm wondering if it's at all possible that we could hardwire his office in City Hall, and every time he dozes off, even if he just closes an eye for a cat nap, immediately triggered in would come the banshee wail of our own Mark Levin.
Wake up! Wake up, you liberals.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
And naturally, for Bill de Blasio, this would work.
He's talking straight to him. Yeah, he's talking straight to de Blasio.
But this is what Comrade Bill de Blasio told Channel 5 News. He said it was complete propaganda, the fact that he is constantly trying to find time within the course of the business day to catch a few Z's.
I've spoken many times about the problem with the New York Post, and they just make things up, and they're a right-wing propaganda operation, and here they go again. You know, nameless sources, which is always a giveaway. It's ridiculous. It's sad. It's sad how much they want to focus on everything negative, even when it's not true. That's what they do. I'm ignoring it because it's not true.
Sounds just like, I guess he's, you're sometimes President Trump.
Yeah. Trump same, also same thing, fake news.
If
it isn't like the tone of it, or if it's negatively a reflection on his administration, it's fake news.
Hashtag
it's fake,
fake news.
That same thing, same thing having to do with Bill de Blasio from the far left as a liberal progressive. This is the new vote for elected officials. When they don't like what the news is about them personally or about their administration, they label it fake news or altered facts.
You know what's sad, though, Curtis, is there are so many Americans now that have such a severe distrust of the news media, the mainstream news media, that these politicians, whether it's Trump, de Blasio, whoever, they can get away with that fake news malarkey now.
Yeah, but we know he sleeps a lot. We know he sleeps in late. We know that at night, Comrade Bill de Blasio retires to the back porch of Gracie Mansion, where he lives with his wife and family, and they fire up. They blaze away Hindu Kush. They love smoking marijuana.
Oh, my God. Not with the kids, huh? Not with this, because I think he's got one daughter still at home.
No, one daughter's in California. Okay. His son, as you know, is in Europe doing an internship, but he goes to Yale.
Right.
That's the very person who guaranteed
Dante.
Him election
yeah,
the last
Dante,
time. Those ads were done. Right.
Sure.
So they're generally out of Gracie Mansion.
Okay, well, thank goodness.
But that wouldn't stop them from blazing up because they were known for doing that in Park Slope. If you ask the guys who were selling the nickel and dime bags along 7th Avenue to all the millennials and hipsters, and you know they're buying there because they got all of those headshots in the area selling all the paraphernalia and the ancillary items that you use in smoking, whether it's the big water pipes, the ocho pipes, or anything else. But I want to ask all many listeners, whether you like de Blasio or you don't like de Blasio, what can we do to get him to work a normal 9-to-5 shift? What can we do to get him up early in the morning at the crack of dawn, like so many of you out there who've got to work a 9-to-5 job or even multitask and work two jobs within the course of a day? 1-800-848-WABC. We don't just want to be critical. We want to be helpful here. 1-800-848-9222.
I have an idea.
Yes.
I'm pulling it up right now because, you know, Curtis, you shame people a lot. You fat shame people.
Yes.
You vacation shame people.
Oh, yeah.
You sleep shame people.
Oh, big time.
So I was perusing the internet, as you call me, your Twitter princess, Twitter queen. And I saw an article, and it made me cringe. I said, oh, Curtis would love this, so I'm going to skip it. But I did read it, and it was called How to Become a Morning Person.
Hmm.
So I'm going to pull it up, and then I am going to suggest some of the things they put forth in this article.
Yeah.
And maybe this will work for Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Well, you know why it'll work. He has already acknowledged he's not a morning person.
That's what I'm saying. So it's these those of us, and I'm with him. I am also not, I know it, and I'm such a perfectionist, and I'm such a, you know, hard-working person, but I am not a morning person, Curtis Leewood. That mornings are very difficult for me. You want me to wake up before 6 a.m.? Oh, boy, I've got serious attitude.
Yeah, but you know, August is National Coffee Month. I know with you, that cup of coffee.
That helps. Oh, I got it. If you want me up early, like 6 a.m., I need about 3 cups.
Three cups. You'd be catatonic. You'd be shaking like a leaf.
No. That's the stabilization. So how to become a morning person. Apparently, there is methodology for those of us who are not naturally early risers to become more like yourself here, get up early, and be productive with our day.
Mm.
Here we go. We'll see.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. To our credit, yesterday, his challenger and the Republican conservative candidate for mayor, Nicole Malliotakis, assemblywoman from Staten Island, Brooklyn.
I saw that picture.
Met him outside of City Hall with a can of Red Bull.
That could help him out.
He dissed and dismissed her. He wouldn't take it.
Well, that was shade on her part.
But it was great.
It was funny.
It was a great PR campaign because we got to help this mayor. He can't. He's the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, who says he's not a morning guy. Let's go to Mark, who I believe is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Mark? Yes, hello,
okay,
Mark.
How are you? Hi, how are you?
Yes, Mark.
Yeah, I've been used to be as a Mark. Like, it's probably the most annoying voice I've ever heard.
And who's the most annoying voice you've ever heard?
Maybe you.
Oh.
Not in a bad way.
No, no.
Yeah, don't be hesitant.
No,
don't be shy, Mark. I mean, you know, you're going to call up to his program and bash him. You got to be proud.
No, and he hates me, as I hate to bash him.
I didn't say that.
No, no, but wait a second. In rather, listen to Mark Levin. This would have been my remedy to have that hardwired in City Hall, especially when he dozes off to take his cat nap each day.
Wake up! Wake up, you liberals!
Now, that would generally be good, but if it were in my voice, because obviously I don't think Bill de Blasio listens to WABC and the Mark Levin show at nights from 6 to 9, but I think if he were to hear my voice, it would torment him.
Yeah, I think that would really stress him out, which might be a good thing. Here's one of the tips from how to become a morning person that I do think works, waking up to natural light. So if you're one of those, if you got a room, make sure that you have the blind or the windows open so that you can have that natural sunlight. Because, you know, during certain parts of the year, the sun's up around 5:30 in the morning. So that'll pop you up.
Let me tell you what the problem is. As he's sleeping in the morning, he's got the sock on his head, you know, the night sock on his head.
What is this, a nursery rhyme?
And he wears the blinders.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's a problem. See, you can't put those sleep masks on. See, the point is you want the sunlight to kind of gently tap your eyelids, and next thing you know, you're rising and shining early in the morning.
Let's go to John in Staten Island. How can we help Comrade Bill de Blasio to work a normal 9-to-5 day without sleeping half the day away, John?
Make it simple, dude. Fire him. Fire him. He's got to get fired, and let him go get a job at the Starbucks down the corner in Prospect Heights. He'll have somebody pee on his shoes.
Ooh. Well, that's interesting. You become a barista at Starbucks. The problem is, the only way you get to fire Bill de Blasio, since they didn't take him out on an indictment for his corruptive practices or pay for play, is you got to vote him out of office in November in the general election. Now, he faces a Democratic primary, but you got to vote him out of office in November, regardless of what candidates survive the process. The one I've supported at the New York State Reform Party chairman, Sal Albanese, or Nicole Malliotakis, or Bo Dito, or whoever else is left in the mix that's running in the end to try to unseat Bill de Blasio.
Is that all we have running so far, is Sal, Nicole, and Bo?
Well, those are the major players.
The major players. Okay.
But we'll see what happens during the primary process in September that leads to the general election in November. Let's go to Karen, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. How can we help the mayor get up, rise, and shine on time, Karen?
Put that heavy rock music on, that hard rock music.
Some Metallica, Karen? Just have it blast.
Oh, yeah. He'll get up. Keep playing that thing over and over again.
Okay, now hold on a second.
Yeah.
It's got to be a Headbangers Delight, you know, strong, heavy metal music that'll rock and shock him to his gonads. He's got to be able to feel the vibrations out of the tweefers and right into his gonads. Let's see if we have a little bit of this. Let's blast Comrade Bill de Blasio if we can here.
Get him. You know what gets me? He goes to the gym. He doesn't work out. He goes in the back room with his boyfriend. I'm serious.
Oh, so you think he's playing? He's doing the double.
He's not working out with no barbells, and he's in the back room. He's having sex with his boyfriend.
That's a good wake-up call.
Nah, not hard enough.
Not hard enough.
Not hard enough. Nowhere near. This is like soft hard rock. It's got to really be piercing. It's got to really be piercing. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments. The new midday show.
Up off the law and a law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Wake up! Wake up, you liberals.
Doing our best here to try to...
Wake up, you liberals.
Wake up, Comrade Bill de Blasio in the morning.
If you had that on repeat, I don't see how you could be safe.
Wake up!
Oh, my God. That is jarring.
Wake up, you liberals.
Be perfect. Yep. Now, the mayor has another serious problem. In fact, it was brought to our attention by an Upper West Side assemblywoman who says her district is so overrun with rats and mice that when mothers take their children into nearby Riverside Park, gorgeous park, which oversees the Hudson River, that the rats start jumping into the children's strollers. They're in the sandbox. They're in the playground. They're dancing all over the place. But it's not just this Upper West Side assemblywoman who's complaining about it. The discussion actually took place earlier today between Bernard McGuirk and Noam Layden.
You know, I was walking through Madison Square Park yesterday.
Right.
And there were mice running around like they were squirrels.
Middle of the day, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was twilight. It was and mice all over. You have the big Shake Shack in the middle of Madison Square Park. And I mean, I'm telling you, there were mice like they were like little birds or squirrels or whatever, and mice.
Yeah, I mean,
disgusting.
Squirrels is one thing.
Yes, right, but rodents and I didn't see a rat. I was just walking through, but I would imagine if you sat there for a while, you'd see a rat also.
I see rats every single day as I walk to work. Every day. I mean, there's not a day that doesn't one that, you know, either it's nearby me or half a block ahead. They're all over the place.
And you do see them constantly on the subway tracks.
Yeah.
You see them. You look down, you'll see a rat because there's so much trash down there. You see rats. It's nasty.
They're pretty gentle, though.
Gentle. Rats?
Then the two of us were made for each other.
Oh, enough of that. Bernard McGuirk, save that for the showers. But anyway, you see how it just created a spontaneous conversation. Sure. Noam has had experiences with the rats, Bernard with the mice. And I've consistently said that we and the Guardian Angels have the answer with the Guardian Angel Animal Protection Program. And yesterday was National Cat Day.
It was. I know what your suggestion is going to be. I'm going to let you make it, and then I'm going to tell you the problem with it. Go ahead, though.
You gather up the cats, the feral cats out there. You spay them and neuter them. You create colonies. You put them in the park like they have them at Jacob Javits Center. And it naturally suppresses the growth of the rat and the rodent population. You don't need to use pesticides.
Okay, I like it, except for, remember what, last week, Curtis, that there was a cat on the subway, and that stalled all of the train traffic. Everybody ran off, including the cat, and that was its own disaster. So how are you going to stop that? People freak out about cats, too, you know.
Oh, that's because you're a dog person. You see, you hate cats because you're a dog person.
I'm returning the favor from yesterday when you were hating on people's therapy dogs.
But anyway, if anybody would like more information on how to suppress the rat and rodent population in your area, just go to the guardianangel.org website and you can read all about the Guardian Angel Animal Protection Division. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. We're trying to help Mayor de Blasio work a normal 9-to-5 day without sleeping through half of it. It's Brian who's calling from Yonkers. How are we going to help the mayor, Brian?
Guys, I'm a big, long-time fan. I got an idea. Maybe if he wouldn't wake and bake in the morning, lock in the garage like he does all the time, he might be able to get up like a grown man. How about that one?
Oh, if he stopped the herb blowing. I agree. That's what I'm saying. It's not productive.
Yeah, but Brian,
I know it's alleged.
But Brian, hold on a second. We know he blazes away at night, the chronic, the Hindu Kush. Do you think if he rolled a fatty in the morning and smoked that would help him?
No, absolutely not. That's hindering him. He's a bomb. Get him the hell out of office. Make him stop smoking. He's the mayor of New York, for Christ's sake.
Hmm. Everybody says that, but who's really going to vote him out of office? I certainly hope so, but I have my doubts.
Do we think he also rolls up a fatty in the morning and blazes away, and that's why he's so stangad the rest of the day?
He's stoned all day. Is that the guess here?
He acts that way, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He acts goofy at times, right?
Yeah, he's long-winded, too.
Well, that's what happens when you puff that herb. You get goofy and you get long-winded.
You got to be succinct.
Let's go to Joe, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Giuseppe? Well, I think Joe has gone into the ether here. Mm. But right now, it's time for us to puff, puff, pass to our news
you
guy.
You puff, puff, pass. I just say no, Ken Duffy.
Sure, man.
You for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony. Exclusively.
Bring the noise.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Curtis, this song reminds me of my glory years.
Your glory years?
Oh, yeah, those great days where I would strut across the stage, an evening gown, interview. And yes, the beloved swimsuit competition, all vying for that beloved rhinestone crown and sash for the title of Miss North Carolina USA.
Would you, when you were styling and profiling on the stage in the swimwear contest portion of the event, would you be wearing those tidy tight thongs?
No, that's not permitted, Curtis Lee. Well, this is a nice classy pageant. So we had a nice full covered bottom for our bikinis, and it was a glorious part of the competition. I bring us into this segment with that song because there's a young woman. Her name is Muna Jama. She was competing for the Miss Universe Great Britain contest. That's the prelim for the Miss Universe pageant. And she actually fought and won the right to wear a caftan, okay, instead of a two-piece bikini like all the other contestants because of her religious beliefs. She is a Muslim, and of course they don't believe in wearing things that are scantily clad. So she fought for and was granted permission to wear this caftan instead. Now, I have to tell you, I applaud her efforts. That's wonderful that, you know, she was able to stand by her religious beliefs. I have no problem with anybody exercising their religious beliefs. But let me tell you why I have a problem with this. Because the swimsuit competition, Curtis Lewa, actually has a very particular significance. It is actually now typically called the lifestyle and fitness division, where you're not just assessed because you have on a bikini. What the judges are actually trained, and I know this because I've been now a judge for many of these pageants. I'll be judging the Miss Louisiana USA pageant this October. They are trained to be looking for indicators, not how sexy you look in the swimsuit, but how well you take your fitness regime. It's a fitness and a lifestyle competition that just so happens to be, you know, the swimsuit is a part of it. Now, this is, of course, a source subject of controversy. So the Miss Teen USA pageant, they no longer wear swimsuits at all. They actually now wear biker shorts or capri pants and sports tops. Because the point is, we still need to see your body.
So it's not like in Brazil where the Miss Bum Bum contest where we get to see those tuchuses, hopefully without cellulite.
You are disgusting. No, this is not a bum bum contest. This is actually to assess lifestyle and fitness. So the reason I have a problem with this young woman, Miss Muna Jama, wearing her caftan is if I'm a judge, Curtis, I can't see her body. Now, I understand that's her point because of her religious beliefs as a Muslim. But that's like in direct conflict with the whole point of the lifestyle fitness swimsuit competition. So if I'm a judge, I don't really know how to properly assess where she stands against the other contestants around her physical physique. You see what I'm saying?
You have oftentimes described yourself as a feminist, right?
I absolutely am a feminist.
All right, but feminists are inalienably opposed to these beauty contests.
Yeah.
Because they say it is degrading to the woman that she is being judged by her curves as opposed to what the curve was that allowed her to get her graduate degree in college.
And I think that is a false choice and a false narrative, which I address head on, of course, in my book, Pretty Powerful, Appearance, Substance, and Success. Get it on Amazon.com right now. And I was actually doing an interview with the New York Post this morning around this very subject because it's a fake choice, Curtis. And I'm a proud feminist, but I'm so tired of what I'm going to call fake feminist who make that argument that you just made, that somehow pageants are degrading or objectifying women or sexist. And that's BS. Actually, if you talk to most pageant girls, all the ones I know, many of whom I'm still friends with some 15, 10 years after the fact, we are some of the most disciplined, hardworking, academically achieving, professionally accomplished women you'll ever meet.
So let me get this straight. This Miss Universe Great Britain contestant, the Muslim woman, Muna Jama, who wore a caftan instead of a bikini during the competition. If it was up to you, would you have excluded her from the competition as a result of her decision not to wear the bikini like the other contestants?
I would not have excluded her, Curtis, but she could have never won. I got to be straight up. She could never have won in my book because I can't assess her physical frame. I can't assess, you know, what are you hiding under there? You might have a great body, but if I can't see it, I can't judge it. So, you know, that's why the other contestants are in a two-piece or even a one-piece or a sports bra and shorts, something where I can say, hey, you know what? You've clearly committed to working out, eating well, and maintaining a fit and active lifestyle. That's the point of that phase of competition.
Wow, this is exactly why guys like those beauty contests. It's
true,
the swimwear part of the contest in which we get to define, wow, Is she stacked, and what is her rack like?
Well, that's one way to look at it. And there's guys, that's why if you look at a judging panel, normally you'll have guys in the NFL, NBA, some kind of bro-y dudes on the panel, but you'll also have former contestants, former beauty queens. You'll have women from beauty and men from. You'll have all kinds of stuff in the panel because we're all looking for something different. So if we were you and me,
but you would acknowledge a plain Jane, a woman who is sort of a frumpy look, a housefrau look, would have no chance in any of these contests. No matter how bright, no matter what kind of intellect she had, no matter how her social skills were. She'd not be a washout.
Not in this system. Now, the Miss America system, you can be frumpy looking all day long and you can win. There have been plenty of Miss Americas that are not, because that's not a beauty contest. That's a misnomer. That's not a beauty contest, Leewood. That's a scholarship pageant. So if you've got the grades, you've got the service, you've got the charisma, you can win Miss America and you don't have to look all that glammed up at all.
Let's open up our phone lines, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's first go to Bruce, who's calling from Butler, New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Bruce?
Yeah, Curtis, I love Ebony, but she's wrong, man, because I date a lot of less than perfect women, overweight. And they got a lot of intelligence, too.
Now, Bruce, when did I say that overweight women weren't smart? What are you talking about, Bruce?
I know, but everybody judges women on their looks today. And I understand that because men are a bunch of, you know what. But everybody can't be like you, Ebony. Intelligence, good looking, okay?
I understand that, darling. But all I'm saying is if you're going to enter a beauty contest, which is voluntary, right, Bruce? You don't have to enter it. But if you are going to enter it, don't you think you should have to subscribe to the categories?
That's a tough question because I married a nice wife, and she's a little bit overweight, but I love her dearly.
Oh, my God. Of course. Everybody deserves love, Bruce. I mean, my entire family's overweight. No problem.
See, what you want to do is you just want to show the flesh. That's
Curtis,
all it is, Evan.
Stop
you
hating.
You want to show a shot of leg.
No. I'm saying, babe, if you're going to sign up to be in a beauty pageant, I got to judge your lifestyle choice. How in the heck can I see under a caftan that's coming down to your ankles, Sleewell?
Let's go to John, who's calling from Garfield. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Johnny?
Well, my point is this. She knew that she had to wear a swimsuit to be in the contest. She shouldn't enter the contest if she can't wear a swimsuit. It's plain and simple.
I agree. Because you're handicapping the judge's ability to properly assess you. So I'd let her be in it. I'd give her, you know, a clap. But, hey, I can't make you my winner because I don't know if you've got a pound of bonbons under there.
That maybe she should be participating in the Taliban contest in burqa style?
You lost me at Taliban. Bye-bye.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Clifton. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Mike?
My respect to you, Mr. Leewood. You are a member of the community that I am proud to belong to. Thank you for your show, and thank you for everything you do. The new show host, the lady that this is my first time that I get to the show and listen to her on the air, actually is a very pleasant voice. I am a Spanish radio broadcaster myself. I have a radio show for the Spanish community, which I try to communicate and trying to make them integrate into the American lifestyle, and especially those new arrivals, tell them how the world is different here and this side of the aisle. But that being said, one of the problems that we do have in the Spanish community is something similar to whatever I just heard from the new host, which is that women knowingly or unknowingly don't give the credits that other women that exploit sexuality put on their shoulder of those women who do not.
Yeah, yeah. You exploit your body.
No, that's not exploitation.
Yes,
that's
you
choice.
Do. You do that.
No, that's not. No,
how many times have I told people, go to WABCRadio.com?
Oh, that's because you know what that is? That's you exploiting my body.
Oh, excuse
that's you
me.
Telling people and to
your
to
eyes
eyeball,
light all up.
To eyeball me.
Your eyeballs get all big.
No. Hey, if you want to eyeball Ebony Kardashian William, go to WABCRadio.com.
Well,
that's you objectifying
me. I noticed you come
me.
In all dolled up every day. You don't come in with a schmata on your head.
Oh, yeah, right. Right. I don't have a stitch of makeup on. Please.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Mikey?
Hey, Curtis. How you doing? I have a great idea. Why not curb the contest and let the person in the burqa win the contest?
Say it again?
Curve. You know, put a curve in the contest. And then
put a curve in the contest.
No, you know what, Mike? That actually comes for those of us like myself that take pageants very seriously and we sacrifice a lot of time and effort around preparing for competition. I credit pageants, Mike, with some of the best discipline I've ever received. And it really has helped me as an attorney and as a host. You undermine the integrity of the contest when you throw those little curveballs in there.
Yeah, well, I was kind of being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know. This is serious business, Mike.
No, what do you mean serious business?
It's frivolous.
No, it's frivolous, beauty contests.
I would not be the lawyer that I am today but for pageants. I'm telling you.
Let's go to Vinny calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Vincenz.
How you doing, guys? First of all, I want to wish you guys continued success in your show.
Thank you, Vinny.
Okay, Ebony, I just want to say I do agree with you wholeheartedly. I feel that if whatever contest you go into, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's the Gladiator, anything that you sign up for, you have to go by the rules. So I do agree with you. I mean, you can't judge. How can you judge anybody when they're not in full, you know, attire, what it calls for?
Yeah, like that's the nature of the category. I'm not trying to discriminate against the young woman. I think it's great to exercise your religious freedom. But now I can't assess your physicality, and that's the whole point of the swimwear competition.
That's the nature of that. It's a game.
It's
a competition.
Yep.
And certain competitions call for certain things. It could be a car race. It could be anything.
Yeah, but Vinny, like in Brazil, they have the bum-bum contest in which you have to show your tuchus with a thong.
How do you know? How do you know about the bum-bum contest, Curtis Sliwa? Oh, okay.
And you would fail in that contest, Ebony K. Williams.
Well, you know what? I don't need that contest because I got all the trophies and crowns I need. Thank you, sir.
She's got all the trophies
crowns
and the
Thank
medals.
Thank you.
Oh.
Boom.
You apologist.
Boom.
You claim you're a feminist.
I am a
proud feminist.
But then
you want to judge women based on their look.
You know what?
Intelligence.
We get to choose. And it's not either or, honey. It's both. See, you need to read your copy of Pretty Powerful. That's all it is.
God, I never want to get a copy of that.
That's all it is.
Unless it comes in matchbook form or comic book form.
No, I'll get you the audio version. It'll be great.
Our numbers, that'll put me to sleep. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Bring the noise!
Studio View, MWABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect,
a great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen. Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC.
All right, it's in two Fridays. You can ask me anything. Go to Ask Ebony's, particularly, well, let me not say anything. Come on, keep it classy, folks. But legal stuff, culinary stuff, fashion stuff, romance stuff. You know, I fancy myself a love doctor. You can go to Ask Ebony. That's Ask, A-S-K-E-B-O-N-I, at WABCRadio.com.
Well, you know, Ken Duffy, our news guy, was the first to suggest a question, which is, Ebony, how do you put up with Curtis each and every day?
I get that question more often than you would believe. We'll go to the phones with Glenn from Lakehurst. Glenn, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Curtis, I know you've had better days, but I'm wondering if she is setting this whole thing up, knowing if she scores well in the other categories, but not in that particular one. Would she have a discrimination case to file?
Well, yeah, she couldn't really file a discrimination case because of the nature of it, you know, privately owned business, but... Yeah, I mean, I guess if she, like, knocked it out of the park in every other category, conceivably she could win. But, I mean, it just the math's not there. Probably other women and contestants would do well enough to always kind of outscore her collectively.
But it's a
good idea, though. Good idea, though. I like it.
You do.
I mean, yeah, look, that's what I'm saying. I believe in people demonstrating their religious faith and more power to her, in all sincerity. But it's a swimsuit competition, Steve. I got to see what the body looks like.
And I accuse you of exploiting the flesh.
Says the man who tells people to eyeball me at 77WABCRadioLive.com.
Well,
really?
At least
you're making that argument?
Not a Brazilian bum-bum contest.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader,
attorney, radio talk show host,
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up.
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb on me.
But you turned me on.
You dropped the bomb on me.
Fire,
baby,
and fury. Those are the words of President Trump concerning
you
North Korea. 107 here as we sit high atop Madison Square Garden in these quite comfortable facilities brought to us by NJDiet.com. So, Curtis Sliwa, the entire country, I don't know about your social circle, but all of my friends and associates are up in arms. They don't know what to make of the sitting United States president saying plainly and directly to Kim Jong-un and North Korea that certainly he will unleash both fire and fury if they continue with the threats.
Well, he's ramping up for war.
Sure. And that makes you feel what? Do you feel that this is endangering us as a society? Or at this point, in this moment, seems like nothing else has worked from any other presidential administration when it comes to North Korea. Is this tone actually appropriate at this point in history?
This has nothing to do whether it's appropriate or inappropriate. This has to do with the polls. If you look at the president...
Oh, so you think this is all just rhetoric?
Oh, it's posturing.
Oh.
Of course it's posturing. Okay. The presidential poll numbers are down. In fact, ironically, Kellyanne Conway over the weekend acknowledged that, even amongst his core supporters. So what's the quickest way to get your poll numbers up? Wave the flag and get ready to go to war and use the rhetoric of war against the evil seed of Kim Jong, mentally ill behind the kimchi curtain of North Korea.
Wag the dog. There was a movie about that, right?
Of course.
Basically, an unpopular president basically makes a war, essentially.
Against Albania.
That feeling of war as some type of call to unity for the country to rally behind the president.
That's right. That was Robert De Niro's movie there.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been other
interesting,
other historically simulated situations.
Rally around the flag, I believe
they call
it.
Rally around the flag. Mm. What bothers me is that we have 17 national intelligence agencies, all of whom have satellite communication focused on North Korea, all of whom are trying to gather intelligence in terms of determining how far advanced their nuclear weapon system is. And if you notice, we've been told information that changes almost every other few months. From the fact it'll be years before they actually are able to miniaturize a nuclear weapon and put it on the tip of one of their ICBM missiles. So all of a sudden, the Washington Post has a story yesterday that says not only have they miniaturized their nuclear weapons, 60 of them,
wow,
but they can put them on the tips of their missiles and they can send those nukes out. And they could hit Alaska, they could hit Hawaii, they could hit Guam, they could hit Japan, they could hit, obviously, South Korea. And I'm saying, how did they advance so el rapido with the whole world watching, particularly our 17 national intelligence agencies? Or are we saying this? Are we putting this out for public consumption now because we're drawing a line in the sand and we want to finally deal with North Korea because it'll be beneficial to the Trump administration. It'll show strength. And secondarily, it'll stop their strides to becoming a nuclear weapons power, which, if you read this Washington Post story, they are.
They are. It sounds like they are nuclear. But here's the, let's back it up for a second and let me lay this out, because I don't really know what to believe in terms of what the White House's position is, because we've got Donald Trump saying one thing, Rex Tillerson saying something else. Let's start with what the president is saying in this moment about North Korea.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power the likes of which this world has never seen before.
Okay, clear, unequivocal, bold statement from President Trump. Juxtapose it with what we hear from our Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson.
I think Americans should sleep well at night. I have no concerns about this particular rhetoric of the last few days. I think the president, again, as commander-in-chief, I think he felt it necessary to issue a very strong statement directly to North Korea. But I think what the president was just reaffirming is the United States has the capability to fully defend itself from any attack and defend our allies, and we will do so. And so the American people should sleep well at night.
See, this is good cop, bad cop. So you see Trump plays a bad cop, Taylor saying, oh, no, no.
That's so bad. Not
rest
so bad.
And relax if you're a Guamanian there, right, and you're thinking that you're going to be annihilated by one of this evil seed of Kim Jong mentally ills, nuclear weapons. They could be fired on an ICBM. Just max and relax. Everything is safe and secure. But they're certainly ramping it up. And then the New York Post has a story today that says the evangelical Holy Roller advisor to the president, Donald Trump, says that Trump has God's authority to take out Kim Jong mentally ill's evil seed. He has God's authority. So when all of a sudden people start using terminology like God, God's on our side.
It's divine. It's divine, Sleewood.
Yeah, I'm saying to myself, oh, they're banging the drums of war here. Mm-hmm. What is different about the North Korean dictator and despot than some other countries that have nuclear weapons or are on the verge of having nuclear weapons, and they all will at one point or another? You cannot prevent them from having nuclear weapons. If they have the will, they will find a way to develop those nuclear weapons.
Oh, sure.
I have a much better solution. The president played footsie with the president of Red China in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Shared the chocolate cake with him.
Playing chicken.
The Red Chinese have done absolutely jack diddly squat nothing.
Oh, yeah, they have. They've enabled North Korea. That's what they've done.
But they've done nothing to rein in their rogue state.
Sure.
So I would make a deal with them. I would say, look, we'll take out North Korea unless you invade North Korea from the north. You take over the entire country, which they have the capacity and capability of.
And they're
doing.
Right there.
They have hooks into the generals in North Korea. There could be a coup d'etat, an insurrection. And then the Red Chinese will be on the border with South Korea. I think the South Koreans would prefer the Red Chinese on the border than the crazed North Koreans.
Sure.
And everyone benefits. Everyone benefits. This way, the South Koreans are not on the border with the Americans of Red China, but there is that buffer now because now you're down to the DMZ. And I think everyone then is satisfied. Sure. The rogue state is taken out because you never know what the evil seed of Kim Jong mentally ill will do, even to his patrons like Red China.
Yeah, certainly. He'll starve him to death as he's doing right now.
And why isn't this approach not being taken? It benefits Red China and it benefits the world. And I'd much rather have the Red Chinese in North Korea than the present situation, which indicates that it's a changeable situation from day to day. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Mike, first up in the queue, who's calling from New Providence. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Mikey?
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Ebony. And Ebony, I think you're great on that 5 o'clock show on Fox.
Thank you, Mike.
And here, too. My comment is, Curtis, first of all, I think you're giving too much credit to the intelligence agencies. These were the people that didn't know the Soviet Union was going to collapse until after it actually happened. And, of course, thought Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Second, it was in Barack Obama's best interest to say that North Korea was quite a ways away, at least a year or more away, from having nuclear weapons. And so it's not surprising that right after Trump gets in, we find out it's a lot closer than
well,
we thought
before.
Well,
is it, though? Is it, Mike?
Right. Well, that's who knows. Again, you got to take it all with a grain of salt.
Exactly. Because as you mentioned, weapons of mass destruction, we were pumped up for war with Saddam Hussein. Look at what a mess that's existed there.
Still in Afghanistan.
Ever since we invaded Iraq. It's... You just got to say to yourself, hold your horses. Do we really want to go to war against North Korea now because we think they have nuclear weapons? We think.
I personally don't think that Trump is going to be that reckless. I don't think he'll even go to war. He's basically putting out a position that matches North Korea and just putting them on notice. you know, with as he always does in his negotiations, he starts it, here's what's going to happen, worst case, and then he works backwards from that.
And I think that's a fine strategy. I'm not particularly mad at that. But when you're dealing with Kim Jong-un, who's so not normal, so irrational, so insane, does it make sense to approach that traditional, far out there, extreme negotiating style? For me, I don't know that that works in that capacity.
Let's go to Dominic calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Dominic?
Yeah, how are you doing, Curtis? Listen, Curtis, I support the president. And the reason why is 2 or 3 years down the road, leader of North Korea will eventually have nuclear capability and long-range ICBM.
All right, now hold on, Dominic. That's what we all thought. We're now told that they can miniaturize their nuclear weapons right now. They don't need an additional 6 months to a year or a few years, as you said. They can put them on the tips of their missiles and send them out on the ICBMs to Guam, to Hawaii, possibly even Alaska, definitely to Japan, definitely to South Korea. So it's not 2 years from now. If you believe this report, it's here and now.
It's now.
Yeah, well, I was in the military. It's been 3 years in the Army, and I had a very high security clearance. I know all about this stuff. Let me tell you, after the time, you can't believe what you hear. But it has to be a credible source. First of all, you got to ask, who's the source? That's the first question.
Well, remember, nobody's going to give up their sources now. Nobody's going to give up their sources.
We'll go to Paul now from Rego Park. Paul, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, guys, let me ask you something. What do you think would happen to the whole Russian investigation and Mueller and all that if a war started?
Well, that's what we were saying. The entire country, Democrats, anti-Trump Republicans alike, will have to rally around the flag.
Right. That's why Trump wants a war. That's a godsend for Trump to have a war, because all that will go away. It'll be done.
Oh, there's no doubt. And other presidents have done that. When polling numbers are down, they've pulled out their saber. They've threatened war. People rally around the flag. They do the patriotic thing. His numbers are in the tank. Kellyanne Conway has acknowledged that. First time ever that they've acknowledged that their numbers are down. So this is all good for Trump, that he can act tough, talk fire and fury. It's the same rhetoric that the evil sea Kim Jong mentally ill uses against us, that I'll turn the South China Sea into fire and fury.
So I can't decide if I think this is a good thing because maybe Kim Jong-un's met his rhetorical match, or if it's all quite dangerous. I'm really, really torn on it. We'll go to Raymond from Lakewood. Raymond, you're on 77 WABC.
Okay, listen to this. First of all, China occupied North Korea in the 50s. They don't want the 28 million people to feed them. That's one reason. And Clinton and Schwartz, if you know anything about the past, those two guys, the president and Schwartz, sold technology to China for the missiles, and they gave it to North Korea. That's why we're in the state we're in. Clinton should be in jail for treason.
So now we're blaming the ICBM, ICBM capacity that North Korea has on Bill Clinton.
That's what
really?
People are doing. Curtis, I've heard it all the past few days. Everyone is picking and choosing who they want to blame. It's Bill Clinton's fault. It's George W. Bush's fault. Of course, a lot of people feel like it's Barack Obama's fault. The point is, to me, I don't really think it matters. We can't go back in our time machines. This is where we are. We're looking at a nuclear North Korea. What do we do?
Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Mike?
Hey, Curtis, how are you? I just have a question or an opinion about the president and the posturing you were saying. I mean, don't you think it's a refreshing thing that we have a president sitting in office now that's not going to let anyone stomp on our head? I mean, it makes a lot of sense to put that out there and let this lunatic know, like, hey, you know, you're not going to say nuclear. You're not going to this. You're
Mike,
not
Mike,
that.
Can I ask you this? I think that's fine if he's actually willing to do it. And that's my skepticism. Because if it's like Curtis and a lot of people are saying, Mike, and it's really just rhetoric, and when the ish hits the fan, he does the same thing everybody else has done, that's even more dangerous than the frustrating, wait-and-see policies we saw from Obama. That will actually put our men and women that are on the ground and fighting for our safety in even more danger.
Absolutely, but remember, when you sign up for the military, you're not signing up for a college education. There's always the threat that you clearly may go to war at any time
but
there.
But, Mike, looking at our recent history, the lack of good intelligence, You want to believe that overnight, North Korea, right, which was supposed to be, according to our intelligence agencies, years away from being able to miniaturize a nuclear weapon, right, and put them on the tip of their missiles, they've been able to do it, and they can do it 60 times over overnight?
No, I don't think it. I think it's a big mystery to all of us, and I honestly think that I think we're just fed what they want to feed us. I don't think we're ever going to know what truly
That is the problem. This all meshes out nicely. Trump's numbers are down. The administration admits that.
Nobody believes the mainstream media. Everything's fake news. Nobody knows what to believe.
Talk tough to Kim Jong, mentally ill's evil seed, which he loves. He loves it when the big dog responds to small dog.
Yeah.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
Ooh, what do you say? Fire and fury. Those are the words of President Trump to North Korea, going to the phones with Priscilla from New Jersey. Priscilla, you're on 77 WABC.
Hiya.
Hey, you're on, Priscilla.
Hello?
Priscilla, yes, ma'am, you are on.
Oh, hiya. I want you on Fox.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, darling.
Around 4 o'clock. But I think Trump is God sent. I think that he's the only person and the only president that can deal with North Korea at this point. And in the 90s, he said that this was going to happen even before they had nuclear.
Now, when you say he's God sent, are you a believer along with his evangelical advisor that says that Trump has God's authority to take out?
No, I just believe in God, and that's what I believe in. I'm a Catholic, and I just believe that he is God sent. Look at the swamp. Look at the mess that we're in from Obama. Look at the mess that we're in from Clinton with North Korea.
Priscilla, I noticed you conveniently skipped George W. Bush, Priscilla. Come on. That wasn't helpful.
This man knows what he's doing. And if they would leave him alone and let him do what he needs to do.
Leave him alone?
Make this country great again.
All right.
Look what they're doing with Russia. They thought
maybe you'd have him as dictator. No other levels of government there.
Interested in checks and balances.
Oh, man.
We'll go to Lewis from Brooklyn. Lewis, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, hello, it's Louis from Brooklyn.
Hey, Louis, you're on live and local.
All right, thanks. I want to know how come that they don't use the CIA to take the dictator out, you know?
That's one way to infect regime change.
Well, no, they can't. Now, Louis, we tried to do that with Fidel Castro over 24 times. 24 times we tried to take Fidel Castro out. It was a lot easier for us to get Cuban Americans to sneak back into Cuba. We don't have North Koreans here. The ones who could take out Kim Jong, mentally ill's evil seed behind the kimchi curtain, are the Red Chinese, because they pay off a lot of the North Korean generals. They could launch a coup d'etat. We should support them in doing that.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could use Dennis Rodman. He's real good with him.
Yeah, well, Dennis Rodman does get close enough. He really does.
Yeah, he has the magic touch there.
Except you can't travel to North Korea any longer if you're an American.
No, can you believe that? Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do for my birthday? Fred from Hillside, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, how you guys doing? I love your radio show. I'm a 20-year veteran of the United States Navy, and I think Trump is really screwing up on this one, and I'll tell you why. Because putting our young men and women lives at risk for absolutely nothing, in my opinion, is crazy. This can be negotiated. We can work with that country. We can work with China. We can work with all the other countries. And if it doesn't work out, if he doesn't get rid of this nuke, so what? Because you know what? We can't control the world. We cannot tell another country when and how they should develop bombs. We need to worry about the United States of America, take care of the college costs here, take care of medical care here, take care of taxes here, take care of infrastructure here. We need to fix the United States of America and leave that idiot over there alone.
Well, not only that, Fred, I am not at all assured that the North Koreans have a nuclear weapon.
You're saying the WashPo is fake news?
No, not that it's fake news. It's coming from our intelligence agencies.
You just don't trust them.
I don't trust them. I think
a lot of people
don't. They have a finger on the pulse. And more importantly, you could shoot off missiles morning, noon, and night, which a lot of countries have the potential of doing.
Sure.
But a nuclear weapon requires that you blast off a nuclear device and test it at some point, generally underground, you know, underneath a mountain range in your country. It used to be we would do it to atolls, small islands in the South Pacific to test our neutron bombs, our A-bombs. I haven't yet seen that done. So why everyone is now claiming that North Korea has 60 nuclear weapons, whereas before they had none, in just a matter of months, I am very, very doubtful about that. But I'm not doubtful about our news guy, Ken Duffy, because he is here.
We believe in Ken Duffy.
Ready to give us the news headlines and updates.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
Up off the law and a law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
You know I smoked a lot of grass. Oh, Lord, I popped a lot of pills.
What is this druggy song you're bringing us back with, Sleewa?
Steppenwolf. Push your man. Because that's what the president was focused on yesterday, instead of the recommendations that have been made by Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, his drug czar, who is in charge of this opioid commission. In fact, just to reset the table, because it was at this gathering in which the president was hosting an opiate crisis meeting at the Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, that he weighed in with that fire and fury statement against the evil seat of Kim Jong, mentally ill behind the kimchi curtain of North Korea. But the whole reason for having that meeting yesterday was to deal with the growing and looming opioid, heroin, and fentanyl crisis that's gripping this country and has particularly hit us hard in parts of New York State and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Connecticut in our tri-state area. And it's interesting because, remember, it was way back towards the beginning of his administration when Donald Trump summoned Governor Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, come to the White House.
Sure.
He said, this is my czar. He's going to travel the country.
Yeah. Christie went running. Well, you know, maybe walking.
Right. He's going to come up with a plan. And Christie and his commission did come up with a plan. They came up with more than half a dozen different ways to try curbing the drug abuse. In fact, Christie wrote much of the report. And that report focused on especially expanding access to treatment as being the best short-term approach to the abuse. Now, you would have thought if the president was hosting this opioid crisis conference at his Bedminster golf tournament location yesterday, that sitting side by side with him would have been his czar, Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, but he was on vacation in Europe with his family. So
we know how you feel about vacations. Well, you think that was a working vacation?
Oh, there's no working vacation when it comes to Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie.
Oh,
but
okay.
The timing is sort of not right. Mm. You would think you would want to do it with your czar right next to you.
Yeah, the guy you designated with this exact task.
And instead of adopting any of the recommendations of Chris Christie's commission to battle the growing opioid epidemic in America, the president came out with a very simple approach, and I want you to hear what he said yesterday.
We will win. We have no alternative. We have to win for our youth. We have to win for our young people. If they don't start, they won't have a problem. If they do start, it's awfully tough to get off. So we can keep them from going on, and maybe by talking to youth and telling them no good, really bad for you in every way. But if they don't start, it will never be a problem.
Now, so that sounds an awful lot like something I used to hear as a really little girl in the 80s. It sounds a lot like Nancy Reagan, right?
I was asked by a group of children what to do if they were offered drugs. And I answered, just say no.
Okay.
So after months of the Chris Christie Opioid Commission doing research, traveling the country, coming up with six recommendations, the president has discarded all of the recommendations, and he has opted for the Nancy Reagan approach. Let's just teach our kids, just say no. Now, let's look at our two millennial and hipsters who are on the opposite side of the bulletproof glass here in our studios here for reasons. There's bulletproof glass because management fears that I will strangle them, both the Gooch over there, Naturally, Justin B. Love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got it. That's because you need a personal day, Curtis.
And I'm sure you, as a millennial and a hipster, also went to the D.A.R.E. program.
D.A.R.E. program, of course.
Yeah. It was offered in almost all the public schools,
yeah,
in which they would have a police officer come in, Officer mm-hmm. Joe Friendly or yeah, Joe yeah. Sally, I mean, or Sally,
yeah,
come in along with McGruff, the crime-fighting dog.
Absolutely. Oh, man, you're taking me back. And just say no.
And it would teach you, just say no.
Just say no.
Drugs are bad. Drugs are evil.
Yeah. I believe, hey, look, it worked on me, I will say.
All right. It may have worked on you, but I would bet you for the mass majority of young people out there.
Obviously, the numbers tell us it didn't work for them.
Well, they were respectful. They probably listened to McGruff, the crime-fighting dog, and to Officer Joe Friendly or Officer Sally, who came in instructing them about the dangers of drug use, whether smoking marijuana, taking prescription drugs, or any other drugs. But I think, for the most part, we can agree it didn't get the job done.
Clearly. The war on drugs has been an epic failure.
So the president has decided that his war on opiate addiction will consist of the Nancy Reagan message. Just tell the kids no. Tell the kids it's going to be a danger to them. Tell the kids it's going to be harmful to them. Except what the president just doesn't understand about this opioid addiction is, it's not just affecting teenagers.
Kids. Yeah, I know. I think that's the misconception.
It is baby boomers in my age range, in the
sure
president's
is.
Age range.
Yep.
It's millennials and hipsters. There's no D.A.R.E. program for them. They're not going to school. A Nancy Reagan approach, just say no, is not going to work. So why would you go back in time and attempt to use a philosophy, although very well-intentioned, that never got the desired results? Ladies and gentlemen, many of you are dealing with this opiate emergency crisis in your neighborhoods, in your communities. You're seeing an increase of cheap heroin flowing into your community. You're seeing now fentanyl flowing in from Red China, far more dangerous than heroin, far more dangerous than oxycodone, the hillbilly heroin or Percocet. Yeah. In fact,
look at that bus just, on the Upper West Side? Was that yesterday?
Upper West Side, one
yeah.
before that in the Bronx.
$3 million worth.
But the problem that they're having with fentanyl is the drug-sniffing dogs that they use, you know, at sure. our ports of call.
Yeah.
May
can't.
Succumb to that when they start sniffing the fentanyl.
They kill the drug dogs.
Well, that's the latest problem
oh,
that's
God.
Happening. It is so potent. It is so powerful. So we open up our phone lines, and maybe we can actually send this to Bedminster to try to educate the president what should be done about the opioid epidemic, because I don't think it just is going to begin or end with a Just Say No program. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Let me offer you this up, Curtis. We took some of that press conference yesterday on the Fox News specialist and replayed some of the portions. And one of the things I brought up, and I got a lot of feedback from people emailing my personal website, ebonykwilliams.com, I brought up the issue of dual diagnosis. Now, the dual diagnosis is the term that we apply to people that, yes, are using substances, opioids, heroin, what have you, fentanyl, also self-medicating treatment of a mental health disorder. And I saw this all the time as a defense lawyer. Many of my clients, absolutely, they were using, they were distributing all this stuff with drugs. They also had bipolar. They had depression. Some of them were even schizophrenic. And because those things either were going undiagnosed or misdiagnosed, they were self-medicating. So a lot of the plan, a lot of the treatment, a lot of the solutions, Curtis, has to be around addressing this growing phenomenon and very untalked about thing, dual diagnosis.
Well, that was a part of what the Christie Commission came up with. It didn't nail it completely as you have, Ebony K. Williams, but
well,
they did address
yeah.
that.
Sure.
And also the self-medication issue. But why would the president, after having this commission, spend all his money, travel the country, come up with six pretty good ideas as to what to do to curb
yeah.
the abuse?
Some good first steps.
Completely ignore what the commission has come up with. His friend, Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, the czar, and then decide to announce what he's going to do while the czar is away on vacation in Europe with his family. Anyway, let's go to Bruce, who's calling from Hillside. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Bruce.
How you doing, guys? This is my first time calling in. Ebony, I love you on The Specialist.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. My comment is Chris Christie is calling these people who are, you know, basically addicted to heroin, saying that it's a disease, but yet they're arresting people for doing the drugs. So basically they're arresting people who have a disease, and it's really not a disease. you'd go to a cancer center and let those people know that these people who are taking drugs on their own, that they have a disease. I don't think that's fair for them to call it that.
Yeah, well, you see, the president is addressing that by saying through Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who's now back in the favor. He's out of the doghouse. He's back in the house.
He started investigating those leaks.
That through proper enforcement against the dealers, it's going to cut the supply. But again,
that's the war on drugs all over again, though. And we know what that's led to.
Let's go to Linda calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Linda.
Hi, yeah, I just think that definitely for the young people, it starts at home. Everything starts at home. You have to have good parental supervision to be able to talk to your kids, and you have to stop funding any kind of drug use they would have, because especially in the suburb.
I think we lost Linda there.
Let me ask this question, Curtis, because I really have had mixed feelings on it. What do you think about parents who are struggling with whether or not to allow their teenage children in their home, to Linda's point, smoke marijuana because they feel it's better to be able to watch them, monitor the amount, maybe monitor who's participating along with them, make sure it's just limited to weed? What do you think of that approach versus a strict no-tolerance policy for any drug, including marijuana whatsoever? Because I know a lot of parents, and if you're listening and you're dealing with this dilemma, give us a call. You're 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. But I think that's a real dilemma.
Well, in the 60s and 70s, it was booze. They started to experiment that way. Let the kids get drunk in the house
rather than in some stranger's house or out in
the street or the park.
Right. You're a parent. Are you going to let little Anthony smoke a little bud with his homeboys?
No.
Not into it at all.
No, because then basically you're saying it's okay.
But,
it's okay.
Right. But what if, like, you...
They're not going to be able to define, I'm just doing it in the house. It's okay when I do it in the house, but I shouldn't be doing it outside with strangers and strange persons' homes or in parks or, you know, out of sight, out of mind locations in which they can get into a lot of trouble.
Right.
A lot of trouble.
It's hard.
Yeah. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
For your midday,
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Back to the phones we go. It's Annalisa calling from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Anna?
Oh, hi, Curtis. Yeah, I got the whole story because I practically live this myself. My friend died from an overdose of heroin in the 1990s. And basically, it was her parents, and that's include my parents in a way. Wait, let me drop my parents here. Okay. I'll give you the profile of a parent like this. Upper middle class, mother extremely uptight, dad working all the time. Mom will come on you like, you're an embarrassment. You're with disapproval. You're a failure at class. I like your adopted Asian sister so much better. She should really be, my daughter. And like I'm saying, this is coming from reformed alcoholics here. And like, if dad is out of the picture, uncle is there trying to get up in your pants. Okay. So you got that going on in the house, and that's covered up.
Well, Anna, this sounds like a lot of dysfunction here, a lot of dysfunction. Let's go to Brian, who's calling from Highland Lakes. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony, Brian.
Hello, yes. I hear all this talk about how to fix the problem, just say no, more rehab, when the real problem is the fact that everybody's being prescribed this hillbilly heroin, as you say, for minor injuries, minor surgery. I know many people that have been subscribed to it. But one example is my girlfriend had a minor surgery on her hand, couple of stitches, was in no pain, and the doctor prescribed her the oxycodone and told her she needed to take it one pill every 3 hours.
What?
And the first prescription was $6. And the refill would be $20, then it would be $50, almost like a drug dealer.
Uh-oh.
She never took one pill.
Well, obviously, in that case, that wasn't necessary. I have been prescribed oxycodone for my colitis ileitis, and I need it from time to time, especially being next to Ebony K. Williams.
Oh, you love that.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio talk show host. Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after two. I was waiting for that fantastic hook line from Shania Twain. Do you remember the Shania Twain song?
No.
You love country.
Because I hate country western.
You love country.
I hate our sister station, Nash, with a passion.
Why are you hating on Nash?
Oh, I'm a hater of country western music. There's nothing.
Hold on, wait for it.
That is
Wait, shh. All right, that's it. Now you can continue talking, Sliwa.
Nothing more deplorable to me than country western music.
So we came back with I Feel Like a Woman. Because Serena Williams, you know, Serena Williams, the, I think, 23-time Grand Slam champion, tennis phenom, probably, I would say, the most dominant female athlete in the world. Some would argue one of the most dominant athletes, period, male or female in the world.
Yeah, and she married a real Maytag, a real nerdy, schlubbishy, nebbishy guy.
Yeah, nerds win. I love a nerd. Oh, yeah. That's hot. But I digress.
What?
Anyway, Serena Williams really setting Twitter all abuzz. And, you know, I'm the Twitter queen, so I was seeing all these angry tweets.
Wait a second. The last time there was a Twitter barrage came to her defense when the egomaniacal John McEnroe decided to say that he didn't think that Serena would be a match for most of the men playing on the professional tour, including those in the lower rungs.
Yeah, that she was, not even good enough
so
to.
So he got a lot of blowback for that. She got pumped up, and
right.
She got a lot of platitudes for that. But,
She stepped in it big time, because she basically said, not basically, she did say, that she is about to be a real woman now because she's about to give birth. She's, of course, expecting her first child at 35 years old with her fiancé, the CEO of, Snapchat? No, Reddit.
Yeah,
Reddit.
The nerdy. The schlubbishy, nebbishy
hey,
guy.
Hey,
the
stop hating on the smart guys. It's
God,
hot, man.
He's such a poo-putt.
But, yeah, so, of course, I was one of the people offended by the comment. Offended maybe is too strong. I didn't like it, though. I did not appreciate Serena Williams suggesting that any woman who has not given physical birth to a baby is somehow, less than a woman?
She must really believe this, because with the amount of negative response she's getting.
She has not walked it back.
She has not retreated a centimeter, an inch. She hasn't gone over to the judge, tennis judge, to ask for reconsideration of the call.
No, I don't think she's going to walk it back. But she said that she now will know what it's like to be a real woman because she's giving birth. And as you can imagine, for both women like myself, who have elected not to have children, at least until this point, for a variety of reasons, or for women like one of my dearest, closest friends in the world who's been trying her very might for 4 years, along with her husband, to conceive, only to have miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage, to hear this type of rhetoric coming out of a legendary feminist icon like Serena Williams feels devastating. It feels like a sucker punch. Because in addition to not being able to have your own child, desperately wanting to, now you got Serena Williams saying, you're not even a real woman because you can't or have chosen not to have a baby.
Well, is it time, ladies and gentlemen, for Serena Williams to humble herself, to buck the bow, to bend her knee, to fold like a cheap camera and acknowledge that she was wrong on this? Or do many of you believe she's absolutely jackedly squat correct, that having a baby is the realization that all women seek to establish their complete womanhood?
That's womanhood. Let me ask you this. Now, you've given me schmack because you claim that I'm so vain, I'm so superficial, that I would elect to have a surrogate carry my little Bambina.
Oh, yeah, I knew that right away about you. You're not going to schlep around a kid, not in your belly.
Why? Why would you say such a thing?
I can't imagine. Some kid of yours kicking around inside of you. Yeah, you'd be screaming, yelling, hollering. That's why you
Oh, I'm not made for that. I'm not. So.
You'd lease a surrogate. You'd lease some other woman's belly in order to bring a child into the world. I'm almost guaranteed of that.
Okay, I'm not going to confirm nor deny that. But if I did, let's say I go with your schism here, is that less than a woman? Women who have surrogates.
No, I've never believed that old world, the old wives' tale nonsense that in order to be a woman, you have to have a child or bring a child into the world, whether it's by modern means, let's say a donation into a petri dish, and an embryo, let's say an egg that's used from another woman because you're incapable of having a baby on your own, or as you mentioned, having a surrogate carry yours. That has nothing to do with being a woman.
The same way that
if a guy gets accused of shooting blanks because his sperm is not potent enough to be able to create a child from an embryo with his sperm, that doesn't mean he's less than a man. Because remember, that's the stigma that exists out there also against
men. Yeah. You're not a man enough to knock her up or whatever.
That's
ridiculous. And also, I think it's ridiculous. And I've learned the hard way through aging, because my friends are now in these situations where they're having infertility and different various challenges. A lot of what we've all been accepting is common rhetoric, common questions. It's actually highly inappropriate. For instance, I'll give you an example, Curtis Lewa. Asking a married couple, when are you going to start a family? You know, that's actually something you should not ask because, A, for all you know, they might be trying to conceive and having real hard struggles around it. Or, B, maybe they don't want to have kids. And guess what? If you're married, aren't you a family? Isn't the husband and wife a family unit? I don't even understand what that means.
Let's open up our phone lines. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. In fact, Serena, who must be a true believer in this philosophy of hers, that to be a full-fledged woman, you have to bring a child into the world, she said, I think giving birth will even give me more strength, if that's possible, and a lot more confidence. I feel like I will be ready for anything. Again, a suggestion that she hasn't fully realized her capabilities unless she brings a child into the world, and she'll be that much better at what she does.
Yeah, maybe. She also acknowledges that it could impact her legendary tennis career in a negative way. That's the scariest thing about it. And that's the truth. I think that as someone who has not experienced the miracle of childbirth yet, I'm not going to front Curtis. I'm going to be... go ahead.
It's no miracle.
Did you witness?
Anthony. I saw Anthony coming out.
What'd you think?
Well, I liked the experience.
So it was a miracle. That had to be kind of life-changing. The miracle of life, right in front of your eyes.
I know they say miracle, but I've seen so many unwanted pregnancies, right?
Yikes.
Unwanted pregnancies where people really didn't want the child.
Yeah.
And you begin to say, is that a miracle? It's a miracle for somebody who has been considered incapable of bearing children.
Sure.
Or a male who has been considered incapable of being potent enough with his sperm to create a child. That I would call a miracle. But not the kind of procreation that I see, fornication and copulation, that lead to a lot of unwanted kids.
All right, we'll go to our phone lines here with Keith from Westchester. Keith, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, guys. How's your afternoon?
He's had better days.
Okay, well, listen, the comment on Serena Williams, I really think, it's an innocent tweet, and quite frankly, the joy of bringing another life, a big decision about bringing another life into this world with just a simple tweet, in my opinion, is really an expression that she's sharing with her family, her friends, her fans.
I got you, Keith, but she's a public figure, right? I mean, to an extent
she's a tennis player.
No, but she's a public figure. She is a public figure.
Well, I think it's sports related. I don't think these people really public figures. We make them public figures, but they're not. They don't deserve anything more than with the sport that they play and the statistics that they bring.
But Keith, you would acknowledge to women out there who have been trying to have children or who have decided, that's it, I don't want to bring any children into the world. It's got to be hurtful to suggest to all of them that they are not equal as a woman to her now
that's
because she is pregnant.
But it's not directed at those people.
Well, you tweeted it out, of course. I mean, look, we have...
She didn't send a text message to Venus and her father.
Right, we have the princess of Twitter right here to all the tweets out there, Ebony K. Williams, and every time she tweets, it's not like she's tweeting just to her friends or an inner circle.
No, you're tweeting to your entire following.
And then they can retweet it out.
Serena Williams has millions of followers.
Let's go to Calvin in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Calvin?
Yeah, Tom. Hi, Curtis. Hi, Ebony. No, she didn't. She said that's how she felt. She felt more as a woman now that she had a baby. But if she would have said as an opinion piece that a woman can't be a woman unless they have children, then I can see a little bit of the controversy and uproar.
Now, so you don't, but I am about to be a real woman now.
The implication, though, Calvin, is that if you're not having a baby, or you haven't had one, you're not a real woman. That's clearly the implication.
No, I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so? That's what she said.
And she was saying about herself.
Okay, there's a whole
I don't think
half
a woman should be a woman unless she has a kid. She didn't say that. She said, I feel.
Okay.
Herself.
Fair enough. I think the implication's quite obvious. We'll go to Christine in New York. Christine, you're on Live and Local with Curtis and Ebony.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake there. It's Christine.
Hi. Christine.
Yeah, hi. I don't know if I can keep my whatever. I have a sister who couldn't have children. She adopted two children. I was able to have a child myself. And I don't consider my sister any less of a woman. She's a phenomenal mother. I think I'm a great mom. And to be a woman, you take upon the responsibility of motherhood. That's a real woman. And these people...
Oh, Christine, what if you choose not to be a mother, period? Is that a real woman?
Absolutely. You are. You've made a choice not to be a mother, and that's absolutely fine. That's your choice. And you want to know something? I respect somebody who does it because it's a hard job being a parent, being a mom.
Oh, the hardest.
So if you choose not to do it, more power to you. You have that absolute right.
You know,
my opinion is don't do it. I mean, do it and then... don't take care of the child, that is less of a woman. Absolutely.
I appreciate that. I want to go right, if we can, to Nicole, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Nicole?
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Ebony.
What's up, Nicole?
Hi, how you doing? I just think that you guys are taking, like, a different look at this. I don't think she was trying to say anything about anybody being less of a mother because they didn't have or couldn't have a child or didn't have a child, couldn't bear a child. I think she's talking about her own femininity and how she's been ridiculed for so many years of not being feminine enough, of not being woman enough,
okay,
being manly.
You know what, Nicole? Right. That's the first legitimate argument I've really heard for it. I can get with that. That's true.
Well, there's been
my 24-year-old.
Yeah.
And said, Mommy, listen to this, and this is my take. And I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. She's been treated unfairly for so long, especially with her physique, her being a woman, men liking her. And I think that her having her baby, she's like, well, look, I had a baby. This now can they can't say I'm not woman enough with that, you know?
Yeah. No, well, I agree.
That's true, more so than her sister Venus, who is more svelte.
Yeah, slender build.
Whereas Serena looks like
Serena
got a powerful body.
Serena could knock you the hell out.
Well, she looks like she may have roided up.
No, she's not roided up.
I didn't say she did.
Oh, my God. See, that's how rumors get started. Real quick, before we go to break, can we go to James? Because I think I might have a little something to say to James from New Jersey. James, you're on 77 WABC.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
He's had better days. I'm good, James. What's up?
Well, I think that Serena Williams should have said that it's more fulfilling her destiny as a woman than making her a real woman. Because you're a woman, you know, without a child.
Sure, sure.
It's fulfilling your destiny. And, you know, like, from listening to you, I don't think that, you know, you don't want to have children. I think a lot of it is selfishness.
Well, tell me more, James. First of all, when did I say that I decided that I didn't want to have children?
I thought you just told Curtis that, right?
Everything with Curtis is a negotiation and a hypothetical. You got to keep that in mind, James, here at the Curtis and Ebony Show. But you're suggesting that I'm too selfish. Okay, you're making that assumption, that assertion. Tell me why you say that, James.
Well, because, you know, how old are you, Ebony? You're about your early 30s?
Yeah, I'll be 34 in September.
So you have a set routine, you have a wonderful career, and you're a beautiful woman. And when you have a child, you have to give a lot of that up. My wife is beautiful and lovely, we have five kids together, and it's a lot of work, though. And you don't come first anymore, you know. You don't get to wake up, oh, I want my...
I know. That's why I haven't made that choice yet, James. But I've got about... I don't know, three or four good years to figure it out.
I think James has nailed it.
I think you're just hating.
You're an I and me, a selfish person. It's all about you.
So, wow. Imagine that, now, feminist of America,
hold
to be career-oriented, to be disciplined,
how
to be focused.
How old are you?
You're selfish. Wow.
All right. How old are you, Ebony?
You should march in the Now Women's Movement. March. I am 33.
Okay.
I'll be 34
in a month. So why do you think
month?
You only have a window of opportunity until you're like 38?
38 or 40?
Do you realize 40. How medical science has progressed? There were women in their 50s having babies.
Typically, that's another conversation that we will have on the Curtis and Ebony Show. A lot of these women, Curtis Lee, were in their 50s that are getting pregnant, having babies. It's beautiful, it's fine, but they're using either frozen eggs or donor eggs, and they're not talking about it. So a lot of women my age are thinking, la, 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 I'll just focus on my career and whoop, magically get pregnant at 48.
So
and that's not true.
What's wrong with using a frozen egg?
Nothing at all is wrong with it, but then you got to prepare for that financially and otherwise. And a lot of women that do elect to do it that way.
So that's why you're banking your money now.
So this way
you won't need a man of your own. You can go solo.
I'm divvying my resources between savings and investment, Louboutins, and frozen eggs. Those are the categories.
What the hell is a Louboutin?
Oh, you see that red tracksuit you got on? You know the shoes I wear with that same color bottom?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Those fake, phony, fraudulent six-inch stacked heels.
Charity money, investment money, Louboutins. Frozen eggs.
Our numbers, 800-848-WABC.
Bring the noise!
Studio View and WABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect.
A great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen. Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC.
Straight to the phones with Donna from Long Island. Donna, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
You might find this interesting. I'm one of five kids. I'm 55. The youngest of us is 48. And each one of us, nervous. we're childless. I have no nieces and nephews.
So none of you or your four siblings have any children?
Yeah.
Wow. And what did you think about Serena Williams' comment?
Well, I'm not really worried about her. I'm just reiterating with the guy that called up saying that the woman that chose not to have children is selfish.
Right. You know what, Donna? That is how a lot of people think. And everybody pretends women get to choose. Nah, I think you're demonized if you choose to have no children or even just the one. People really feel like you're a selfish
It's terrible. It's different with her. Before my mother passed away, she always held us together very tight. And I think just having her influence over all her kids, I don't think she really wanted grandkids.
I got you. Okay.
You know, she wanted to stay young.
Fair enough. They do say children can age you, Curtis Lee. What, has that been your experience?
Can children age you? Depends on whether you're the father or the mother. Since the mother generally does most of the heavy lifting, I think it can certainly age the mother. There's no doubt about that.
Let's go quickly to Doug here in New Jersey. Doug, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. You know, whether women have children or do not have children is 100% their decision. And I can understand, just listening to you, why you choose not to at this time, and you have other goals and objectives, I'm sure, and you're very good at what you do. And if you get to that point, I'm sure you'll do that well also.
Oh, thank you, Doug. Way to counter Curtis Lee was pessimism around my motherhood abilities. Thank you.
Well, here's my observation, though. I've dated a lot of women, and what I've noticed is that women that have never had children, and I'm not saying women that can, but women who choose not to have children, are totally different and a little more difficult to deal with on a personal level because I found, again, an observation. I have found that unless you've had children, you really don't even begin to understand or know the meaning of the word sacrifice or compromise.
And I
say that just from the point of view that women without that tend to fire boyfriends like they fire plumbers.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to commit to any relationship where if you had children, you would realize you're not number one in the relationship.
That's right.
You are number one in your relationships with whoever you date, I'm sure. But
that's damn right.
If you but when you have children, it's damn wrong.
I understand that, and that is
you're not even in the top five. I'm not saying it's wrong. Yeah. It's just not.
So, what's wrong with wanting to be number one, though?
I know you're not number one.
Why?
Who's number one?
Who's number one?
Number one, right? Aren't you looking up there?
Oh God! Of course, of course, of course.
No. For you, number one is your fluffy little yarn ball dog.
No, number one is him upstairs, first and foremost, always.
A child can never supersede your little, what do you call your doggy?
My little Carrie James. She's so sweet. And actually, I will say, in all sincerity to Doug's point, she has made me a warmer, more gentler person, and I do have to sacrifice financially, my lifestyle for her accommodation. Oh. So I'm working on it.
See my little violin
I'm working
here.
On it. Oh, you know what? You make me sick. I'll take some headlines now from Ken Duffy.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
Think 2:39. Aretha Franklin right on time with her song Think. Because it goes to the fact that almost every woman I've ever known just overthinks everything. Overthinks everything. Now, they may have anxiety. They may suffer from bouts of insecurity. Many of them, particularly in our neck of the woods, are neurotic. But the one thing that I have found women have in common over men is that they overthink everything. After it is over with, done with, totally fleshed out, totally thought out, they can't seem to let it go, and they keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Days,
Curtis,
weeks,
Curtis,
months later.
Curtis, has it ever occurred to you that you and your fellow menfolk don't think enough? How about that? You guys maybe don't give it enough thought. Huh? Did it ever cross your mind?
No, we think about it, we come to a conclusion, and then we move on.
So I'll tell you a secret. You're right. We will continue. You can have an argument with a woman in February, and it can literally resurface almost seemingly out of nowhere in September. You know why that is?
It's the way you're wired.
No, that's not it. It's because you, as men, have still not satisfied our need to have a full understanding that you get why we're upset about it. You have a full understanding about the why it happened and assure us that it won't happen again. Until we can reconcile that deep level of understanding on your part as men, you're right. It's not going away. You think it's swept under the rug. You think it's done and over with. And it keeps coming up. You know why? Because we're not satisfied. We're looking for that symbol of deep understanding and reconciliation. And then we actually can move on. But until we get that satisfaction, Curtis, that you really get how you hurt us, how you disappointed us, why it matters, and why it won't ever happen again, it's going to keep coming back up.
Why do you want to keep revisiting a situation that creates such a negative atmosphere and leads to you as a woman having depression?
Well, because, again, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just telling you why it happened. You asked why. Because we will not drop it. We will not let it go. We will not let it just fall under the rug, be swept away, until we really are convinced, Curtis Lee, that you as men get it, understand it, and will work to make sure it doesn't happen again. That's just the nature of women.
Ladies and gentlemen, is it true that women overthink everything far more than guys, which leads to anxiety attacks that they have and feelings of insecurity that they seem to be gripped with from time to time, and in many cases just being completely neurotic?
It's not that, no. It's not neurosis. It's really, Curtis, we have a hard time moving on until we firmly believe and are convinced that you get it. If we don't feel like you get it, we're going to keep bringing it back up.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, can you give me any concrete examples that might reflect what the general population of men and women deal with on a regular basis, what you're talking about this? When I say men, think about something. They connect the dots. They're satisfied. They move on. Mm-hmm. Women, they think about it. They connect the dots. And then they keep returning to it over and over and over again.
Well, I'll give you an example. I'll give you cheating, right? Because I think that's one that comes up a lot. We'll do a lightweight one. A guy, this happens to, especially nowadays in social media, guys Facebooking, let's say, with an ex-girlfriend. Current wife finds out, I can't believe you're doing that. Why would you do that to me? The guy says, oh, it was harmless. It meant nothing. It won't happen again. He's moved on. He's done with it. You know, bada bing, bada boom.
Sure.
The wife keeps bringing it up. And then you remember when you did this. And then you remember when you were talking to her. And the guy's like, why are you bringing this up? It's because the wife is not satisfied that that communication with that other woman, that blast from the past, has truly ended. And or she is not satisfied that the man understands how damaging what felt to him to be innocent correspondence, but how damaging and hurtful, painful, and problematic it was
so
for the wife.
Are you suggesting that a man has to come on wounded knee always and keep apologizing over and over and over, even long after this situation of hooking up on Facebook with a former female friend that he knew in high school? It happened. It was innocent. It didn't continue. But now he has to keep making amends for it.
So if he says what you said, it was innocent, it happened, it won't happen again, it's going to keep coming back up. This is model answer. Take note. You know what, Susan? You're absolutely right. I should have never been corresponding with Tanya from the eighth grade. That was out of line, inappropriate, and disrespectful to our relationship.
From the freaking eighth grade.
And you know what else? It will never, ever happen again as long as I live. And I apologize for even making you feel some way about it.
She helped me in
math. If he gives that answer, Curtis Sliwa, that will never come up again. She's going
to
say, oh, he gets it. He's got it. We're good.
But wait a second. She helped me pass the math test. I was able to cheat off of her answers because girls always do better in school.
I don't make the rules, Sliwa. I'm just telling you how to navigate. Okay.
God damn, Tanya, 8 years old, and you can't let it go.
No, you gotta give that model answer like I just broke down to you. I am sorry. I did wrong. I was disrespectful. And please, please forgive me. And if you do that.
Okay, now that happens one time, all right?
Okay.
It happens one time, and I beg for forgiveness. I'm on my wounded knee. You've forgiven me.
Brian taking his head. Brian, about telling the truth.
So
I am telling 100%.
Why?
100%.
2 months later or 3 months later?
Because you didn't give that model answer. If you give that model answer, you will cut her off at the knees, fellas. Listen, if you're listening and you're a guy out there, try what I just told you. Your wife or girlfriend won't know what
Tanya
hit her.
Wasn't worth that.
Oh, she'll be like, damn.
Frolicking in the sandbox as an 8-year-old with Tanya just wasn't worth all the grief it's caused me as an adult.
Exactly. I'm telling you. You'll never hear about
it. I hate the fact that I reached out to her Facebook. She reached out to me on Facebook. I acknowledged her. Wow, I haven't heard from you since fourth grade.
You'll never do it if you give that self-deprecating apology.
Can I wish you a happy birthday?
What's the context?
What's the context? It's your happy birthday.
I'm just telling you how women think, okay? Well, you know, I don't know Tanya's motivations. What's Tanya up to? Tanya snacking on?
Wow.
I'm just telling you. These are the things that go through women's head.
Neurotic, insecure.
It's not
anxiety.
Even that. It's not even that. I'm just telling you, that is what it's got to sound like if you truly want it to be done, over with, and swept under the rug.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Joe, first up in the queue, calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Giuseppe.
Hello.
Yes, Joe.
You're on, Joe.
Yes. Yeah, I was just talking to the guy. I was saying that Ebony, you know, she said that women need to be satisfied for the argument they had 5 months ago. But they're never going to be satisfied. That's the thing. They're never going to be satisfied.
Exactly.
But that argument is always going to come back and bite you in the rear.
Yep.
I think for some women, that's true, Joe.
Yep.
I'm not going to front. But for most reasonably minded women, there is a way to cut us off at the pass. And I just gave a perfect example of the overindulgence that it does take.
Joe, you know, in your heart of hearts, she's going to come back at you again, right? It's never going to die.
It never fails. It always going to come back at you.
It will never die, Ebony.
No
matter what the man does. 800-848-WABC. Buy her a diamond ring. Buy her a fur coat. Buy her a new car.
It's not the buying. It's the word. See, you can't buy your way out of this. You got to use the word.
Let's go to Barbara in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Barb.
Hi. Listen, Ebony is wrong. You know, I am so sick of women behaving like that. they want men to never stop apologizing and trying to make it up to them. You know, they're just overindulged. They have to learn to stand on their own two feet.
Stand on my own two feet? I mean, I work three jobs. What do you want from me, Barbara? What are you talking about?
I hate feminists. That's one thing. And they are...
You hate equality of women?
You know what they do?
They
want to be men, and they are busy castrating men in every single
Barbara, you hate the equal application of rights for women? You hate that?
Women have rights. Listen, if women don't think they have rights, let them go over to the Middle East and liberate their sisters over there.
Oh, that's the barometer.
On your head.
Okay, that's
but
lovely.
But she's right. You have turned us men into capons, castrated roosters.
We have turned you into.
Let's go to
Steve. Wait a man up, Sliwa.
Calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony. Steve.
Hey, guys. I called in the other day pertaining to the Google article. And I mean, Ebony, in all due respect, you know, you made a point that men and women are no different. We could do anything. It's the same. And then now you're making a claim that emotionally they're very different.
Well, listen, I'm not making a claim, Steve. Do you not find men and women to be emotionally very different? Come on.
Yes, but two days ago you just said, no, there is no difference.
No, I never said there's no difference. I've always been...
No, no, no,
no. Steve, listen to me. Steve, I've always said... No, I did not. I said that's what he felt. I said he should not have been fired, and I thought that he was explaining a point of view that a lot of people hold. And by the way, I don't think men and women should be treated the same. I think we should always be treated much better than men. What are you talking about?
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's see if we can go to Patsy, who I believe is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC, Patsy.
Yeah, I strayed one time about 5 years ago with my wife's permission.
Whoa.
More or less, you know, because we weren't getting along and she was going to Ireland with a bunch of people. Go do your thing. Be my guest.
Oh, she said that. That was a setup, huh, Patsy?
Well, she gave me permission, and the woman that I wound up seeing was my old girlfriend. You know, we spent a lot of time together and whatever, and I hadn't seen her in years, and she came to my father's wake, and we hooked up, and, you know, we had a good time for a couple months.
And then did you just go back to your marriage, and you never heard about it again? Is that what happened?
I have not spoken to this woman in 5 years.
Oh, and your wife never asked you about it?
Oh, no. It was World War III.
Oh, okay. That's what I figured.
It got to the point where she was harassing this woman.
Yeah, that was a setup. When she said, just go do your thing, I don't care. It's a setup. That's an old guard setup.
Man, you see how cold-hearted? The woman gives him the yellow light, the green light.
No, that's a setup, fellas. You can never fall. That's like one of the oldest tricks in the book.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
All right, you're getting a small taste here of what it's going to be like. It went in two Fridays from now, we have Ask Ebony. So send your questions, whether it's love, the law, fashion, cooking, you name it. Ask Ebony at WABCradio.com. We'll quickly go to Joey from Staten Island. Joey, you're on with 77 WABC.
Hello.
What up, Joey?
Yeah, my comment is directly to you, Ebony.
Yes, sir.
You are one beautiful, gorgeous girl. I seen you online.
Ooh, thank
and
you.
I'm a tall, very... good-looking Italian guy.
You sounded like a big, tall, strapping, tall, dark, and handsome Italian. Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to go out with you, but I wouldn't because you're too Americanized.
You sound like Eddie Murphy from Raw. You remember the Eddie Murphy stand-up? He's been here too long.
That's right.
Oh,
and,
man.
And a perfect example is when you had the engagement ring and you were going to give it back to your old man. And your sisters talked you out of it.
Yeah, they sure did.
That's what it is. You're too Americanized.
Yeah, you're too Americanized. You're too full of yourself.
I was born here. I've been here too long.
Too full of yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
you're not appreciative of men.
Oh, I need to submit. You want me to submit to you, Curtis Sliwa? Get out of here, please. If you want me to submit to a man, he's got to be right. You got to start with that. Sliwa, you're wrong.
Got to have the snaps.
Oh, please.